We're holding on Daf. No, we're holding in Sanhedrin. On Daf Lamed Aleph. We're in the new Mishnah. We're learning that a court can overturn the court case if it has new evidence. If the court gives the witnesses, the litigants, 30 days, then they've only got those 30 days, according to the Tanakhama. But Rabbi Shmashbag says, no, you've got even more than that. The second case we're now seeing is, if the court said, bring evidence, do you have any evidence? And the litigant said, no, I don't. And then later on he brought. So Tanakhama here says, any evidence that you do bring, it's worthless. Right? Because we assume that you manufactured it.
And then there's an additional one where he says, yeah, I don't have any evidence, and then they're going to get the court and says, oh, here are the two witnesses for, you know, he pulls something out of his belt.
Right, so that's what he's doing here. Right, so the court says bring witnesses. And he says, I don't have any. If he later finds witnesses, we don't believe him. Because he stated in the court, we saw that earlier, he stated in the court that he doesn't have any. So if he stated in the court, we don't accept. Amar Rav Shimon ben Gamliel, Rav Shbag disagrees with this one too. Why? Same basis. Maya says there, Shalaya Yodea, Shayesh Laidim. He didn't know he had Adim. Matsaid him and then he found some. Oloya Yodea, Shayesh Laraya, Matsamaya. What's he going to do? Okay, he said he didn't have any evidence, he didn't have any witnesses. But he didn't know. So we're going to stop him bringing witnesses. So Rav Shbag says, no. You're right, you could say that he's manufacturing it, but it's not fair on the witness. It could be, we give him the benefit of the doubt, and we allow him to bring.
But we could question the witnesses, see if they're honest.
We could, and we do.
Right.
But obviously that's not enough. According to the first opinion, we're concerned for lying witnesses.
Right. That's my point.
No, that questioning's not enough. Okay. So I'm going to question them anyway.
I mean, really question them.
So, last case of the Mishnah. Rashi mitchayev b'din. If he sees that he's about to be liable, he's about to lose the case. Rama, and he says, "Kuvu ploni uploni v'iduni. Bring so and so and so and so as my witnesses." Or he produced a proof, a shtar, a piece of evidence from his belt. Hareza inoklu. That is nothing. And in that case, the third case, Rashbag doesn't say anything. Rav Shimon ben Gamliel hasn't got a problem with that. He agrees, if someone produces evidence at the last moment of the case, when he sees he's about to lose, then we discount his evidence. Because we assume that he's lying. It's manufactured evidence. He didn't want to bring it, unless he really had to, because he knew it was false. So at the end, when he saw he had no choice, he was about to lose, that's when he brought it. We don't believe it. That is our Mishnah. Let's see, anyway, top. So they're the three cases of the Mishnah. So now, let's look into Gemara. Gemara says like this. Three cases. The first two have an argument, and the third one we don't have an argument. First case was bring witnesses within 30 days. Ashbag says no time limit. The next case is, do you have proof?
Evidence.
Where he says no proof, no witnesses. Right? He's not allowed to bring. Ashbag says can still bring. Can still bring even after you said you had not. The court says to you, did you have proof? The court asks you specifically, do you have any? And he says he has no proof or he has no witnesses. He's not allowed to bring any. Because any witnesses that later emerge, we say he made them up. But Ashbag says, no, you can still bring. Yeah? What are you going to do if you didn't know that you had? You might have thought at the time of the court that you had no witnesses. But later on, you realise, actually, I do have witnesses. I thought nobody saw. But then I met two guys in the pub who said he did see. Well, I thought that I had no shtar. And then my wife found it in the back of the cupboard. So, and the final case in Tanakana is where he's about to lose, and he pulls out a piece of evidence, or he pulls out two witnesses from his pocket, so to speak. Then we don't believe him, because the only reason he brought them out is about to lose. If he had them, he should have brought them earlier. Why didn't he bring them earlier? Because they were probably false and you didn't want to bring them. But now you're about to lose, so you're going to bring out your piece of false evidence, because you've got no choice. So we don't believe any false evidence, and Ashbag doesn't argue with that. Ashbag doesn't say anything about it. Okay? That's all, Mish.
But if you brought it out before...
Before what? In the middle of the trial?
In the middle of the trial.
Okay.
Like you're supposed to. And it was fake.
And it was fake?
Right.
So, okay, so what's the question?
So, how would they determine it's fake, especially the document? I mean, witnesses you can cross, you can examine.
You usually determine that a document is fake by calling the witnesses who are signed on the document.
Ah. But if they didn't have the witnesses?
Then your document doesn't stand. You need the witnesses for the document to prove your document. I don't know. I'm not actually sure that. Usually... Tough. Yes? What? No? Yes? Yeah? Okay? Tough. Okay, so that's the mission. So the Gemara says like this. Amarava bao bao rapuna. Rabba Bar Rav Huna says like this. Halacha Karaban Shimon Gamliel. Halacha goes by Rashbag. Which one? So first of all, we're talking about the first case. Right, when the Gemara doesn't mention, then it's certainly when it's going on the Mishnah. We start from the top of the Mishnah, we go through the Mishnah. So in the first case, we're talking that Rav Huna says that we follow Rashbag, meaning there's no time limit to produce extra witnesses or extra evidence that you might find. Okay. Rav Bar Rav Huna also said, "Ein halacha kidrei hachamim." The halacha doesn't follow the hachamim, the Tanakama. Why I call it Tanakama, but it's hachamim. Right? So the obvious question is, What's the chiddush? What are you trying to tell me?
What's going on?
So that's what the Gemara is going to ask and answer. Right? If we don't have that question, then we need to go back and reconsider our learning. Right? What's going on here? Why are you saying the same thing? Pshita, says the Gemara. It's obvious. Right? So how can you say that? If you're going to tell me that the halacha is like Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, mimela, it's automatic, yadana, that I would know the ain halacha ka chachamim, that the halacha doesn't follow chachamim. So, Gemara spells out the question even. It's an obvious question, but you know, spell it out for you. So why do you need to tell me? Mahu de tema, what would I have said? Hane mile lachatchila. Aval diavad shapidamai. I might have thought, if you hadn't told me both statements, I might have thought hatchila we go with Rashbag, but b'dieved we can follow the Chachamim. What does it mean? Let's understand what we just said. I might have thought this is the Havamina, which is wrong. I might have thought that Rashbag we follow Lahatchila.
Yeah, well, you can bring witnesses any time.
Lahatchila. But Bidi Eved, we go by Tanakam.
But what does
Bidi Eved mean in that case?
Right. Exactly.
How do you have a case of Bidi Eved when you've got all the time in the world? What's the case of Bidi Eved? Somewhere here. Meaning like this. If a court did impose Bidi Eved, if it acts, what does Bidi Eved mean? We're going to see later. Bidi Avad. It means the, in the case of the E, we see later, the E Avad, if it happened, E Avad. Iyaman means if it happened. Right? Bidi Eved means if it happened. We use it don't always use it in a context, but it means literally if it happened. So what's happening here? Bidi Eved, if it happened that a court imposed a 30-day time limit, even though Rashbag says they're not allowed to, we follow the halakha of Rashbag. But if you did follow the other opinion, does it stand? And that's loosely what Bidi Eved means. If you followed the wrong opinion, the one that we don't go by, does it still stand? If the court followed the 30-day rule and someone tried to bring evidence within that 30 days and the court rejected it saying wrongly that we don't hold that, that you missed your 30-day time period, they didn't realise.
You said he brought it within the 30 days.
Yes. Oh, no, sorry, later. Thank you. He brought it later than the 30 days, and they said, no, sorry, we had a 30-day time limit. We don't hold by Rashbag, and you've got as much time as you like. Right? They got it wrong. They thought that this was Hachamim was correct, and that if they impose a 30-day, that's 30-day. Goes by what the court said. So the court refused to accept it. Does that stand? But yet, do we say that stands, or do we only rely on Rashbag and saying, no, you've got as much time? If you would have told me only that the halakha follows Rashbag, I might have said the hatchila, that's the correct opinion, but Bidi Eved, if you went by that, it would stand. So therefore it comes to teach me, no, even Bidi Eved Tanakama doesn't stand. Right? There is no time limit, and if the court refused, you know you can get that overturned. Go to another court or go to a higher court and get them to change their mind, and we don't have to hold by that first ruling. Not correct halakha. Okay. Yofi.
So when would the plaintiff actually win the case if he had no time, if the defendant had no time limit to bring evidence?
He wins the case completely for as long as there's no evidence found against him. So he gets the money, right? If it was a monetary case, so he gets given the money on the day after the trial or whenever the court, right? And for the rest of his life, He has to wait in case there's a knock on the door, and he has to give it back if he's lying, if further evidence is produced against him. But
okay, how about a criminal court case?
There is a time period given to in a criminal court case to find evidence. They go out in the street and say, if anyone has evidence against Plonny and Plonny and this, and they say what the case is, then they should bring it within a certain time period. I think we might get to it in Sanhedrin. There's a time period for that. But there's a fixed time period, and then you're going to get the punishment, so after the punishment's given.
I mean, unlike America, where the death row of the guy of old age before they...
Okay, next case. Amala ha-viyedin. In the Mishnah it says, if they said, bring witnesses, and he said, I don't have any witnesses. Right, case number two. He says, I don't have any witnesses, I don't have any proof. Right, so the Tanakhama says, if you said you didn't have any, you admitted in court, declared in court that you don't have any evidence, and you try and bring evidence later, Tanakhama says, we don't believe you. If you have evidence, you would have told us. Any evidence you later bring that after you declared that you don't have any, we assume to be false, so we don't accept it. Rashmak says, no, what's the person going to do? If he didn't know he didn't know there was two witnesses, he didn't know there was other evidence. So Rashbag says, we do allow that. That was the machloket in the Mishnah. Amar Rav Abba Rav Huna, Amar Rabbi Yochanan. Halacha kadivrei hachamim. In this case, Rabbi Yochanan holds that we follow hachamim. We don't allow him to bring. If he declares in court that he doesn't have any, so he should have made a more vague statement. I don't think I have any. I don't know of any currently. If he says there is none, nope, I have no evidence. So that we take him at his word, and we don't allow him to come up with new evidence. Right? Halacha according to Rabbi Yochanan.
So if he's saying, I don't know,
then that's fine. He hasn't declared that he has none. He has to declare that he has none, and then he can't bring any. Okay?
People should be very careful not to say that.
Yeah. Nachon. V'amar Rabba Bar Rav Huna Amar Rabbi Yochanan. So Rabba Bar Rav Huna said also in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, Ein halacha k'Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel. And the halacha does not follow Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel in this case. Right? We have the same double halacha. We follow A and we don't follow B. So why?
Why is it here?
Why again are we saying we don't follow B? So Gemara is going to answer again. Pshita, isn't it obvious? Kevan dama halacha k'divrei hachamim. Since you said that halacha follows hachamim, ein halacha, ein mimela yadana de ein halacha k'Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel. It's automatic that I know that the halacha doesn't follow Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel. Why are you telling me that? Ha ka kashmalan. This is a different. I don't know the difference. Why? The difference between a madate. Now, madatema is what you would have thought wrong. But here, kashmalan, it comes to teach you something else. So we don't here have a havamina that you would have thought something wrong. We just have a learning, a separate learning. Haka mashmalan, what does it come to tell us? Debahi bahi, in this case, ein halacha k'Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel. It doesn't follow Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel. Okay. So what? Habakulhu halacha k'Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel. But in all of them, the halacha is like Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel. What does it mean in all of them? It means in all of the rest of the Mishnayot. Here it means Rabbi Yochanan is coming to teach that in this case we don't follow Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel, but in the rest of the Mishnayot, if there's a machloket between Rashbag and Hachamim, we follow Rashbag. Okay? Big lesson, law of who we paskin by. Right? The Gemara, we also saw that before, with in the previous sugya, the four cases where we. Right, the Gemara tells us, often we see that the Gemara tells us in a machloket who we follow. So here the Gemara is telling us the reason why Rabbi Yochanan said, and the halacha is not like Rabbi Shimon Rashbag. Just to teach us that in every other case where you have a dispute between Hachamim and Rashbag, it does follow Rashbag.
But normally they would list it in detail.
List what?
What the exceptions are.
He's going to listen. We're going to list them now. There are three exceptions here. Okay. La'afuke. Right. So according to Rabbi Yochanan, why did Rabbi Yochanan say this? Because Rabbi Yochanan believes that in every other case we follow Rashbag. Every other dispute between Rashbag and Hachamim. But here, not. So he's pointing out, and we don't follow Rashbag. Yeah, but we just said we follow Hachamim. So why are you telling me, and we don't follow Rashbag? Because here's the case where we don't. Everywhere else we do. Right? Why do you need to tell me that? La'afuke mada amar Rabba bar bar Rav Hana amar Rabbi Yochanan. In order to la'afuke, to exclude, to come out from the view of Rabba bar bar Hana, who said in the name of Rabbi Yochanan. Kol makom sheshana Rabban Shimon ben Gamliel b'mishnatenu. Everywhere in our everywhere where it was taught in our Mishnah by Rashbag, halacha kamoto, the halacha follows him. Chutz me arev sidan uraya achrona, except for the cases of arev. What's an arev? A guarantor. A guarantor. Arev. Sidon. Sidon is the name of a place.
Lebanon.
Huh?
Lebanon.
Tyre.
Sidon.
What?
Tyre.
What
is Tyre?
Galgal.
The name of the city.
Tyre is a Galgal.
Unfortunately, it's being occupied.
Sidon is Galgal?
No.
Yeah, but it's the name of the place.
Yeah, that's what you're saying. The Tyre means a Galgal on a car.
Yeah, but no, how the Tyre connected to Sidon?
The first Lebanon, during the first Lebanon War, didn't we liberate Tyre?
I have no idea.
During the first Lebanon War, didn't we liberate Tyre?
Didn't we what? How take Sidon over connected Tyre? Related to Tyre?
It's a different name. Like,
no,
mentioned a song, an Israeli song about the war that happened there. Yeah, that is it's about a soldier that is there and he's so lonely that he's there and he's writing a song or letter to to his girlfriend and that is in Lebanon.
Okay, so that's it done.
Why didn't we simply take over Tyre and keep it? I know, Arab rough.
So what are we seeing here? So we just saw here just now, in brackets before we come back, I'm going to explain what these Tyre, Sidon and all this stuff is in a minute. But before we get to there, just let's see what we were doing. What did the Gemara just tell us here? Just told us here there was a dispute between two opinions about whether we hold by Rashbag across the board, right? The first opinion of Haladin and Rabbi Yochanan is this is the only place in the Mishnah where we don't go by Rashbag, this one, right? But everywhere else where Rashbag has an argument in the Mishnah, we go by him. But this second case, Lafuke there, says that there's actually three. There's three places in the Mishnah that we don't go by Rashbag. Not one. What out of those three, the last one, Rayachona, is this one, right? This is so there's only two others. There's two more places in the Mishnah where the second opinion says we don't follow Rashbag. What are those two cases? So one is in Masechet Bava Basra, and one is in Masechet Gittin. Baruch Hashem gave me some time yesterday to actually look them up. So what they are is that the first case, which is called the Arev, the case of an Arev. Let me refresh my memory. So what's the case? So the Gemara argues over there whether if you have a guarantor, whether or not you need to make a claim first against the borrower, and only if he doesn't pay up, you can go to the guarantor. right? The guarantor set is guarantees the payment, right? Or alternatively, can I go straight to the guarantor and not bother with?
There's two kinds
right?
of guarantor.
The guy didn't pay. The reason why I'm going to the guarantor in the first place is because he's not paying, right? So I'm going to the guarantor. So why am I going to bring him to court? Go through all of that. He's not going to pay. He's not paying me, right? Well, I don't know. Let's just go to the guarantor. Or do no, I have to first go through the guy I'm meant to claiming from, and only if he doesn't pay at the end, then I can go to the guarantor second.
It's something that also Yesh Musak shel Aref Kablan. You know what it is?
Aref
Kablan.
Here. Usually a bank.
No, when somebody go to sign to on Gemach.
Ah, okay.
You need Aref Kablan.
So okay.
The question is, this guarantor is, you know.
It would be the same idea, an Arab for
Well, what the point of Arab Kablan?
I don't know what an Arab Kablan is, actually. Is.
Basically,
in a Gemach, it's a camp that's going to pay for you if you don't give it
back. But
Nahan, so it's just a normal Arab. Why
but for some reason, Arab Kablan is more like it's kilo more obligated him. If it's not Arab Kablan, so it's not. The point is that then you go in to borrow money, and maybe you will not have the money. So that guy that he signed for you, like he's the for the guy that give you the money, he's the insurance that he will get the money, if not from you, from him.
Uh-huh. Right. So the question that Gemara looks at over there by the battery is who you can.
Don't they also do that at a wedding? Where you're the guarantor that is the guy's going to actually show up?
It's a different guarantor. They don't make you marry the girl if he doesn't. As far as I'm
aware. No, because I was
are you doing that?
No, I was the guarantor. I had to actually sign a document saying Alice was going to show up to the wedding. Of course, he was right there.
Never heard of that before.
Then they broke a plate. And,
okay.
I always thought you're supposed to break it on the groom, but they broke it on the chair.
Okay. So that's the case of the guarantor that they argue about over there. The second case is the case of Sidon. What's that case? So I don't know why it's called Sidon. It happened in Sidon. The Mishnah brings over there. It's talking about the case of get. It's in Gittin, the laws of Gittin. When you can give a get. When is a get valid? So here we're talking about a case of conditional get. There's a condition that needs to be fulfilled. If a man gives his wife a get on condition that on condition that she pays him $100, on condition that she never speaks to his mother again, whatever the condition is, he gives a get. Is that get a valid get in cases where you don't fulfill the condition? But obviously it's not, but what's the case? So here I'll tell you what the case is, and you'll understand why there's even a question. The condition's fulfilled, it's good get. If the condition's not fulfilled, it's not good get. But what's the case? The case is here, he brings a case that happened once in Sidon, that a man said to his wife, I'll give you this get. Right? The wife wants the get, right? The wife is trying to collect the get. So she wants it to be a valid get. But he puts a stipulation on it. So the man says, Tanai on it, right? So he says, I'll give you this. This is your get if you bring me my coat, my cloak. Not a big condition. So she went to get the cloak, and she couldn't find it. So she went to court, said, is this still a valid get? And so they said, if you pay him the value of the cloak, yes.
Oh, that's interesting.
And that was a dispute between Rashbag and the sages whether or not you could do that. You could pay the equivalent value of the obligation and fulfill the Tanai. Gemara and Gittin over there. Top. Anyway, that's Bezer Hashem. We'll get on to Gittin after we finish this.
That sounds like a very good idea.
So Gittin's a great great Gemara. Anyway, top. And then top. So those are the places of argument. Next case that we see this ruling apply. Hahu Yanuka. It was a Yanuka. A Yanuka is a child. But
A young guy.
So but the Gemara here is going to, the footnote here points out that it might actually not be a Yanuka. The Tosfot has a big problem with it being a Yanuka. Because a Yanuka, we don't, what's a case? A case here is a case of a father that leaves money to his son and dies, inheritance. Right. So if what's the case? The case is if a father leaves money to a child, and then he dies, to any relatives, and then he dies.
The father dies.
The father dies. It's an inheritance, right? If the father had debts that he owed, those people can collect the debts against the estate, right? So what happens? So why is Tosfot upset about the fact that it says a child? It says because normally you can't collect against the child until he comes to the age of majority. Because at the age of majority, he can then defend himself. He can then go to court and say, maybe this is not correct. Right? But he's a kid, 6-year-old, and somebody's coming to take money from his inheritance on the basis it's not a fair... he can't like stand up against him in court and whatever. It's not fair. So usually, Toss would point out, it's not... We don't allow people to claim debts from the inheritance until he's of age. There's a lien over the property until that time, and they can come and collect after that, but they don't actually take it. So he says over here, Trostler says over here, it's not a yunuka. Here, yunuka just means that he didn't know, he didn't have the evidence in order to fight them, as if he was a child and didn't know.
Yunuka by his mind.
Yeah, kilo. Yeah, that's why he wants to see that. Anyway, we'll go with the pshat of the text is he was a yunuka. That he was a child. And it doesn't really matter for the case, but Tosfos is problematic with that. How can that case be?
But we don't allow that. Also, this brings up an interesting point that there are three or four people that you can't put in the court: minor, someone who's mentally not competent, a slave.
I think you can. No, you can go against them. They can't be
witnesses,
but you can make claims against them.
Okay. So it can't be witnesses, but you can make claims.
Yeah. Because we're not they're not witnesses, and we're not holding them as proof. Right? What the parties say is very interesting. But unless you've got two witnesses, right? We take the independent witnesses as the proof as to what happened. We don't take the parties' personal view because they're biased.
Right.
So even though I bring him to court and say, yeah, but you can't rely on him, he's a 6-year-old, you can't rely on him, he's a slave, you can't rely on him, he's whatever. Well, I'm not relying on him. I'm bringing him to court and I'm relying on the external proof, the third party proof of two witnesses. That's who I'm relying on. Those are the believable witnesses that...
So the
litigant, it doesn't matter who the litigant is.
Okay.
And although in this case, like I've just said, it does matter who the litigant is, because normally if it's a child... In this case, anyway, in the case of an inheritance, we wait till he gets to majority to allow him to at least present his case, to find witnesses, to do what he wants to do, to defend it. So there is a reason not to, but generally speaking, if some kid scratches your car, you can take him to court and make his parents pay.
That could be, in the case of an inheritance, that could be...
a long time, yes.
10, 12 years.
Yeah, okay.
You know, by that time, the witnesses may not be there.
But it's given for the benefit of the him, to give him time to find witnesses if he has. So anyway, a 4-year-old usually can't do much to defend himself, so we give him time. Okay, so anyway, what was the case? Ahuyunuka. There was this small child, let's say, the Tav'uhu Ladina, that was brought to judgment, Kamei de Rav Nachman, before Rav Nachman. Amale, he said to him, Itlach Sahade, do you have any witnesses? Amale, lo, no, I don't. Itlach Raya, do you have any evidence, any proof? Amale, lo. Chayavim Rav Nachman. So Rav Nachman found him liable. Where are we currently, before we move forward, where are we in our Mishnah? Which case? Second one. What's the law of the second case?
It says he says not proof and no witness.
Yeah, so what's the law? Who do we follow? What's the rule? What's the halacha we learned?
Halacha is tana kam.
Which is that?
That he can't bring.
He can't bring, right?
Right.
So he said he doesn't have any. He's not allowed to bring. Okay, so let's see what happened in this case. So Rav Nachman, he was found liable because he said he didn't have any evidence. Havaka Bachi Va'azil, he went out crying and he left. Or he went about crying, right? Shamohu Hanach Inshe. People heard about it, because he was crying a lot, he's whinging, right? Amule, and they said to him, Anan Yadinan Bamile Davu, we know stuff about your father, right? We actually have evidence, right? Because evidence came about. So what happened? So according to where we know him, we would say sorry. Why we don't go by Rashbag? Amar Rav Nachman, Baha Afilu Rabbanan Modu. Even in this case, the rabbis would agree. Diyanuka Bimile Davucha Loyada, because the child doesn't know about his father's affairs. So in this case, Rav Nachman says, fine, we would go by Rashbag. You can't bring. Normally, if you say no, you say no. Right? But there is a reason why a child doesn't know, because he doesn't know. He doesn't know about his father's affairs. He doesn't know what his dad is doing. Right? So then we would allow him to bring witnesses or proof. If there's good reason why he didn't know, even though he said in court. Next, similar type situation. Hahi itata, it was this woman. Danafak shtara mitote yada. A shtar, a note, a document emerged from her possession. Right, what is this case? So this case is not, she's not one of the litigants here. She was one of the witnesses. She had a note of indebtedness. Right, a shtar chob. Right, that Reuven owes Shimon $100. And it's a note that says Reuven owes Shimon $100. And it's in her possession. Amrale, she says to him, to the court, Yadana Bahai Shtara de Priya Hava. I know that this note has been paid. Heimena Rav Nachman. A Rav Nachman believed her. Right? She's holding the note. She's holding this shtar. And says this has been paid off. She's believed. Why? Amale Rava la Rav Nachman. Rava said to Rav Nachman, Kaman, with whom are you ruling that she's believed? Why? Come on. Who? Right? Karebi. I go by Rebbe. The Amar who said, Otiot niknot b'masiwa. The letters, the otiot, are acquired by masira, by handing over. What's going on here? The letters are acquired by masira. What are we saying here? So here, we have to know there's a machloket between Rebbe and, I know, whoever is arguing with Rebbe, about whether or not the otiot are acquired by handing over. So what's going on? Masira. Let's start with from the back. Masira, handing over, is one of the ways to acquire something. Right? That's one of the ways of kinyan. Right? We said there are different ways of kinyan. Handing it to a person depends what the item is, but some things are acquired by handing over. Question is whether or not a shtar is acquired by handing over.
It's enough masira, or you also get it and you have to beer.
So that's a different. That's something different. Here, Masira, just handing it over, like a get. Right? A get is acquired by Masira. Right? Just handing it over. Not even Masira, or throwing it at her. Gittin has lots of whole chapters about throwing it at her. Well, you threw it at her and the wind caught it and threw it back to it. Oh, dear. In her Daladala.
It's like, it's in Kabbalah. So that you can throw it. Nobody may get that.
In the court where I was fortunately to see the mitzvah of get mitzvah, but unfortunately I was present for the get of a friend of mine in London, and the court are very machmir on the handing over, right? Because the handing over is like at a wedding, the the ring and the whatever. So in the get, the ceremony, right, so they has to hand, like, she has to drop it into it, she has to open it, and her hand, he has to drop it in, and
she also holds it, and then hold it.
And it's like, so there's no question that that's what happened. And that's the acquisition stage.
That's interesting. Huh? It seems like this. Yeah, in baseball, you have an assist.
Now you're coming at me from left field here. I have no idea what this means.
That's where
halacha came. That's why it's all.
Hockey, right? Hockey is like
that. Right? So he says in other words that get it's a mitzvah baseball.
No, but isn't that the same?
You can learn a Gezeira Shava from baseball to it.
But wouldn't a better Gezeira Shava be the ring and ketubah?
Doesn't
the person have to actually put the ring on the wife's finger?
No, he doesn't have to do that.
What about the ketubah?
That's just a document. That's her monetary.
Right, but
that's not for the wedding. She can marry someone without a ketubah.
But she has to
marry from Shtar, Bia, or
Kesef.
Right? So it's one of them. We do, or three, hopefully. Right? But you don't, it's not.
But even the third one, she has to take it.
Top.
Today, yes. As far as I know.
Yeah.
That it's not valid.
Why?
Like what the Gemara in Kiddushin says, Isha niknet bechesef b'shtar u'bebia.
Right.
Like today it will not enough, only one of them.
No, because you have to go by the rabbi. Like the rabbis have a big control over the form of the marriage ceremony, which is why one of the reasons why they can undo it. In the case of different cases, they want to try and do it because you have to get by.
But Dafka, if somebody like, and it happened, somebody was going to a girl in theater or in a job or something, and he gave her a ring and said, they needed to get.
Didn't you have a story about that?
Yeah, happened to me in Sambuki. So, didn't happen to me, I was watching it, I was one of the witnesses.
No, you were at a coffee shop.
Yeah, in the coffee shop. Did you hear that?
I
was in a coffee shop in on Yafo, right? I was waiting for my coffee, and there's a girl and a guy and a girl behind the counter, right? And she's making the coffee, and he's making the jokes, right? So he's playing with this bit of thing that he's found, and he rolls it up, and he makes it into the shape of a ring. And she's making the coffee with him. He grabs her hand. He goes, Ani, Hare Ani Makudesha. What's the word? And she pulls her hands away and goes, you idiot! What are you doing? Don't you know that stage, right? Right? And he's like, yeah, we're just joking. And then I'm the one who's standing there. They have a look at me like, Pen, but like, no, Rabbi, what do you wear? I'm like, I don't think it was a pruta. It was only one with it. I think you're probably okay. I don't know what you want to do.
So I thought
there was enough holes in what was going on, but
he told you
he didn't know the exact words. He was right. He was fumbling over the words. He didn't get the exact thing. But he was like
Mekanish himself.
She was like, what are you doing? Like, but the fact that she know you have to be careful, right? She might, because.
If they went into the back room for like 5 minutes.
Let's hope that there's something else. But there are
conditions on the ring. The ring has to be here.
Has to be a vow. It has to be his. On top. So there's lots of loopholes you could find, but you don't want to be in the safek, because they usually make you have a get anyway if there's a safek. Mm-hmm. Right? And then you don't want to go onto the job market already having been fired.
She actually does want to marry him eventually.
Who knows? For sure, it's all. We're just seeing some tikkunim going on there, right? Right? For sure, Gilgalim and tikkunim were going on right there, and I had to be watching it as the witness. I know there was stuff. When we get upstairs, I'll ask exactly what was going on. Oh yeah. Anyway, so. I was in Oman a couple of years ago, and my roommate told me that. He got engaged And after a few weeks, she broke it off. Right? There was a whole big story why she broke it off, but blah, 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 she broke it off, and he was very upset, and he wanted to... Anyway, he went to Rav Arush to ask what to do about it. Rav told him, let me go to the mikveh, and I'll think about it, and I'll come back. Went to the mikveh, came back, said to him, don't worry, it's just it's a clean-up from a previous Gilgal, ignore it, go on.
Don't
matter, go find somebody, was it? Yofi, how we do? Oh, tov. That's it. We'll continue with Hashem.